Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And our best of week on the Steve Jones Show continues. News Radio 1070 WKOK. And Sean Carey, we're here in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia. On the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. No show tomorrow. We'll have a Phillies-Mets doubleheader. Be a 3:30 airtime on WKOK on 1070 AM. As the Phillies get into a five-game series for the weekend with the New York Mets, four at Citizens Bank Park. And then the Sunday night 7 o'clock matchup will be the MLB Little League Classic from BB&T Ballpark at historic Bowman Field in Williamsport. Of course, all those games here on 1070 AM, including Phillies-Red Sox tonight. Phillies looking to even up that series with the Bo Sox, who are now 51 games over 500. Vince Velasquez and Nathan Eovaldi be your starters on the bump tonight. 6:30 on deck with JJ, and then 7:05 first pitch with LA and Scott Fransky. Of course, Phillies got to keep on winning if they need to and want to stay at least in the pack with the Atlanta Braves. That's another team that's hot. They have been taking care of business over the Miami Marlins, including Ronald Acuna Jr. He had another big night last night.
Pitch by Connolly is hit in the air and hit well to right. Back is Anderson looking up. It is gone. A chop shot three-run homer. And the Braves break it wide open. It's 10-6. Acuna's second home run of the game.
And then had a couple of home runs earlier this week on Monday in a doubleheader with the Marlins. So he is on a tear. Braves currently in first in the National League East. So Phillies looking to chip away at that Braves lead at the top against Boston tonight. And then definitely try to make some hay over the weekend against the Mets. Hey, don't forget you can subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. It's available on both iTunes, the Apple Podcast app, and Google Play. Just search Steve Jones Show. And also 3 months of shows. We always have them archived at stevejonesshow.com. By the way, for Penn State football fans, in case you were wondering when the first coaches show of the season is going to be with Steve and, of course, the head coach of the Nittany Lions, James Franklin, that'll be 2 weeks from tomorrow night on Thursday, August the 30th. Thursday the 30th will be the first coaches show of the year from Primanti Brothers in downtown State College. A little under 48 hours away from the start of the season, Saturday, September 1st at 3:30 against Appalachian State here on WKOK on 1070 AM and streaming at WKOK.com. All right, so we will focus on football for the rest of the show, okay? We're going to focus on pro football, but we're not going to talk about the NFL. We're going to talk about a new group that's going to begin called the Alliance of American Football. And the former executive director of the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, and now the former color analyst, sat alongside the legendary Eli Gold on the Alabama Football Radio Network, is Phil Savage. So we will learn about Phil's new position in the Alliance of American Football in this replay from last month.
Phil Savage. I hate to say that Phil is going to be giving up his run on the Alabama Radio Network with Eli Gold, because he's going to be a general manager in the Alliance of American Football. But it's great to have him with us, and sorry to hear that, Phil, but it's great to have you on board with us.
We're doing well, guys. Hope you're doing well as also. And looking forward to being part of the Alliance Phoenix with my good friend Rick Neuheisel. We worked together at UCLA back in 1990, so you can go home again, I guess.
I guess you can, and the one downside, at least from us for us professionally, is that, you know, because this will be an all-consuming job, you won't be able to do Alabama games anymore, and you were one of the top five analysts in the country, in my opinion.
Well, I really appreciate that. I I had the initial intention was going. I was going to try to do the Bama radio broadcast, but we had our first ever league meetings 2 weeks ago before the 4th of July holiday week for the Alliance. And as we were sitting there and they start laying out dates and responsibilities, and there were some real conflicts that were starting to bubble up and come to the surface in terms of trying to do both. As an example, you know, Bama's first game, as is most of the country's, is September 1st. That's a Saturday. That's the major cut-down day for the NFL. That's going to be a huge 72-hour time frame for us in the Alliance, because we will be signing a lot of those players that get released and don't find work in the NFL. So I'm disappointed not to be able to continue, but at the same time feel so fortunate and blessed to have been able to do it for 9 seasons. I mean, in reality, I think when I took that job in 2009, everyone thought it would be a one-season sort of a placeholder-type role for both the network and myself, and it ended up being 9 games, 9 years, 125 games. Bama won 113 of those contests, 5 national titles. I wrote a book about it, and so it ended up being an experience that I did not anticipate happening, but, man, I really enjoyed doing it.
You always, though, personnel has always been, you know, what you've really enjoyed. And the Senior Bowl did some of that for you. As a matter of the ability to go out and find talent. You found talent and had help in doing it. Is that what the lure of doing the Alliance is? Because it gets you back to what Phil Savage has always been?
I think the lure for the Alliance, honestly, is the people involved. When Bill Polian, the Hall of Fame general manager, reaches out to you and says, hey, I want you to be one of the GMs of one of only 8 teams, that gets your attention. The more we talked, the more that we kind of got into it, what the league was going to represent, the time frame of the league, February, March, and April, which will fit perfectly with the NFL calendar for players to come to our league, practice and play, get more game experience, physically and emotionally mature a bit more before they get another crack at the NFL. I thought that was important. And then, honestly, you look at the way the landscape is in football right now. High school, there are limitations for the practices in the spring and training camp. Same is true at the college level. And now with the CBA in place in the NFL, you can't walk a defensive back out onto your practice facility in February or March and work with him. And so there's really a lack of development at all levels of the sport. We feel like this is a league that will be able to fill that niche and give even more players an opportunity to make a living in the game. So those are kind of the three main things that drew me to it. The other piece of it that I've always enjoyed is obviously this will be a league of second, third, perhaps even fourth chances for players.
Yep.
But I think it will be first opportunity for coaches, for scouts, for game announcers, for officials, all sorts of people that will make their first ever foray into professional football. And I would venture to say that, like the USFL and NFL Europe, and hopefully with this alliance, you're going to see a lot of people involved in this league that 4, 5, 6 years from now will be mainstays in the NFL.
Yeah, I think we saw that obviously in the USFL, left and right between coaches, executives, players. They all got to the NFL, and many ended up being impact guys, among the top guys in the USFL at the time. Bill Polian, they've kept it to 8 teams. How smart was that, just to make sure it was 8 to give everybody the best chance to succeed?
Well, I think that the idea is really smart in terms of this way. In regards to the way that the players will be split up and allocated, they're putting together a really unique formula for how the players will be dispersed and who will be available for the clubs to sign. And, you know, you think about it, there's 8 CFL teams, there's 8 Alliance teams, so there can be an affiliation there, so to speak, in terms of organization, not a formal affiliation, but to get organized. and then eight teams in the Alliance. There's 32 in the NFL. So, you know, four teams or four organizations per Alliance club could be a funnel, so to speak, to our league. All of that is being worked out and put together in written form and will be released, I'm assuming, in the next few weeks so that people will understand exactly what's going on. But eight should be a real nice balance. They'll have four teams in the West, four teams in the East. There will be 10 games. And, of course, there will be an abbreviated playoff schedule with the championship game to be played the Sunday after the conclusion of the NFL draft on that Saturday in late April.
There's also interesting rules with this. No extra points, two-point conversions. No kickoffs. Everything starts at the 25, so it looks like the spring game at Alabama or Penn State. Same story with touchbacks out to the 25. And then instead of an onside kick, you put the ball at the 35, you gain 10, you keep it. If you don't, they get the ball. Do you see this as a window as to what pro football might look like 5 years from now?
I think there will definitely be people paying attention to how some of these rule modifications play out. One thing that I would add to this conversation is that from an Alliance standpoint, the medical care and overall wellness and health of the players is going to be at a premium, to the point that I think it's going to be almost groundbreaking in terms of how the Alliance is going to handle the players from a medical standpoint on and off the field. So I think it's going to be a real unique opportunity to advance the game in a real positive way in that regard. The other element of the Alliance that is going to be pretty unique, I think, is some of the technology available for the fans in regards to fantasy football, in regards to now the legislation that is going to allow gaming. I think that's going to be a huge draw for fans because it's going to be so forward-thinking in comparison to other leagues that are out there. So I think the Alliance, while, yes, it could be somewhat of a testing ground on certain things, I think the leadership with Charlie Ebersole and Bill and J.K. McKay, you know, I think they want to really push the envelope and move the game forward, modernize the game for the benefit of everybody involved at all levels of the sport, whether it's the NFL, college football, high school, even youth football.
You mentioned the medical part, Phil. I'll expand upon that. Outside organizations are going to be the ones that are going to handle head safety protocols. How important was that for the integrity of what happens on the field?
Yeah, you know, some of this is above my pay grade, but I do think that the Alliance will have a very, you know, different approach to, you know, the health and benefit of the players. In some ways, it will be, you know, taken out of the hands of the coaches and the GMs, and obviously the trainer and the doctor, the team doctor. You know, those, the way we understand it, will ultimately be employed by the league rather than by the individual clubs, if you will. So, again, they only told us some of the generalities of this. But, again, the theme is players, fans, and the game. And that's sort of the underlying focus points of the Alliance, the players, the fans, and the game. And I think, you know, that's the reason, at least from the way I understand it, maybe for the name of the league being the Alliance.
September 1st, you mentioned the cutdown day. So how do you handle the upcoming end of July, month of August, to start getting a read on who might be near that cutdown line and get a good read on which players, if they're cut, you know what they can and can't do?
Yeah, it's going to be an extremely busy month of August. I would assume that all of the GMs will be out scouring the NFL camps, attending preseason games, trying to at least get a picture, a live visual exposure, which we think will ultimately be available to us. You know, right now, there's the 90-man rosters. That ultimate down to 53 active, 10 practice squad, and a few guys on injured reserve. So let's call it 65 to 70 players mm-hmm. draw a paycheck from the league. That means that 20 to 25 players times 32 teams will be available out there. So you're looking at a pool of probably 600 to 700 players. And I would venture to guess, see that 80% of the Alliance League will come from that pool of talent that just, you know, needs more incubation time, needs more adjustment time from the college to the pro game, and that's where the coaches and the staffs are really going to come into play for the Alliance as they try to get guys ready for a second or third opportunity at the NFL level.
How exciting is it for you to put something together from scratch?
Well, I can tell you that it was really a unique experience and one that you know, is seared in my mind. A few weeks ago when we were in San Francisco, there were 25 of us in a singular room, the eight GMs and then 17 league officials, attorneys, and the like. And, you know, all of this was just a thought. It was an idea in Charlie Ebersol's mind. He reached out to Bill Polian. Bill Polian said, you know, I think you're on to something. And so to see all of this come to life is really exciting. I think back to 1920 when that group of owners met in Canton, Ohio.
At a car dealership.
At the car dealership and forged what became the National Football League. I don't know that the AAF is going to make that kind of impact, but I do think there were 470 years of NFL experience in that room. And I do think that the Alliance is going to offer some answers and solutions to some of the problems and issues that are plaguing the sport right now. And hopefully we're going to be aggressive and smart enough to be able to resolve some things that will be able to propel the sport into the future.
And finally, can you sense that the spring is a time of the year where there's still a lot of people saying, I still want football?
Well, the gamble that the Alliance is making and the investors and the leadership is the fact that 150 million people watch the Super Bowl, and their estimation is that half of those people turn their TV sets off and really don't turn sports on again until the following football season. And so their idea is to capture a certain percentage of that group with 10 games in the spring. And again, because of the fantasy element of football, the gaming element that will now be available above the table, so to speak. They think that this is really going to attract a lot of people to tune in and watch either on television. CBS Sports has the TV contract, yep, and or on their handheld devices with the streaming content that will be out there as well.
Phil, always a pleasure. I wish you nothing but the best with this, and obviously along the way, we'd love to keep in touch with you to see how it's going, because I think this is a great venture.
Well, I really appreciate it, Steve. I'm, again, very enthusiastic about it. It's going to take a lot of work to get it off the ground, but I do think the Alliance can make a real significant impact on the sport, and especially being that bridge between college and pro for a lot of players that deserve to be in the NFL.
Completely agree. Phil, thanks so much, and best of luck with this.
Man, I really appreciate it, Steve, and let's definitely stay in touch, and we'll do that.
Phil Savage, the general manager of the Phoenix franchise, head coach Rick Neuheisel, with the Alliance of American Football. I wanted to get that out there because he's right. That last part was the critical part that I think needs to be understood. It is the bridge for those who didn't make the NFL this past season or the ones that won't make it in this training camp, right? To then, when it's over, still have an opportunity to then show in practical application what they can do. This could be, for those who have looked at Christian Hackenberg's career, this could be the bridge for him as an example. As an example. There'll be eight franchises. They'll start playing first Sunday after the Super Bowl. And as you mentioned, Bill Polian's one of those in charge. Normally when Bill Polian is in charge of something, that is a good sign for success. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Our best of week continues on the News Radio 1070 WKOK, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai. In the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And not too long ago, we were going through the hot seat of college football coaches, which ones are going to have to succeed so they can keep their jobs.
Hot seat ratings for coaches. Dennis Dodd says that there are six coaches that are win or be fired. 10 start improving now. That's a 4. Pressure is mounting. 19-3. All good for now. 42 of them. They get a 2 rating. 1 safe and secure. 41 get that rating, including James Franklin. And 11 are in the untouchable category. Stunningly, that includes Nick Saban. Quite a run. You heard Phil Savage, because Phil was the analyst on the Alabama network for years. And, 125 games. What did he say? They lost 12? Was that the number, Sean?
Pretty good. Not too shabby.
So here's Dennis's list. 6 coaches received the dreaded 5. Now, in each of the last 2 years, there were 2. Now there are 6. All right. Let's see. Nick Saban, untouchable. Kevin Sumlin gets a 2, which means he's okay. Herm Edwards, though, gets a 3. See, I find that interesting. He hasn't coached a game yet. And he gets a rating of pressure is mounting. Pressure is mounting.
Well, with memos and the press conference that he held within the first week or two of taking over that team at that campus, there's a lot of people just getting a lot of weird vibes from Arizona State.
Of course. But at Arizona, Kevin Sumlin gets a 2, which means he's safe for now. He hasn't coached a game there either. Let's see. Matt Rule of State College. State College's Matt Rule gets a 2, safe for now. Steve Adazio gets a 3, better start winning at Boston College. Let's see. Dabo Sweeney, untouchable. I know that's surprising. Untouchable. Let's see. Mike McIntyre. Now remember, Mike McIntyre, he's had one great year at Colorado. A great year. He got them to the Pac-12 championship game where they lost to Washington the year Washington went to the college football playoff. He got a 4. Start improving now. Because he's only had the one good year there. Colorado's not an easy job. Let's see. Mike Bobo. Colorado State got a 3. All right. Better still kick it into gear. David Cutcliffe gets a 1 at Duke. Safe and sound. Butch Davis gets a 1. FIU, safe and sound. Dan Mullen, of course, just took the Florida job. I would hope you're okay if you just started. Lane Kiffin, your buddy, gets a 1. Willie Taggart at Florida State got a more cautious, safe for now. Didn't coach the game here yet, but he got a 2. Kirby Smart, untouchable at Georgia. Paul Johnson, better start winning, a 3 at Georgia Tech. Lovie Smith, Illinois, win or go, he gets a 5. Tom Allen at Indiana, okay, safe for now. Kirk Ferentz at Iowa gets a safe and sound, he gets a 1. Matt Campbell at Iowa State, safe and sound. He gets a one. David Beatty at Kansas. They're 3-33. Guess what he got? He got a five. Better win or gone. Bill Snyder at Kansas State, safe and sound. He got a one. Mark Stoops at Kentucky, though, got a four. Trouble. Bobby Petrino at Louisville, got a two. Safe for now. Ed Orgeron at LSU. What do you think Ed Orgeron at LSU got?
I'll say, this may surprise some people. I'll say three.
He got a four.
Really?
Start improving now. He got a four. How about that?
For some reason, LSU, there just feels like there's built-in pressure to that gig. I mean, there's a certain list of college head football coaches where it just seems like there's extra pressure built in before you even get into the door and turn it into your program.
Their opinion of themselves is exponentially higher than the rest of the country's. Okay. In my opinion. Like, okay, just slow down. Okay.
I'm not alone. Okay.
Yeah. DJ Durkin at Maryland gets a three. All right. Okay. Getting a little lukewarm there. Mark Richt a one. Safe and sound at Miami. Jim Harbaugh got a two. Safe for now. Mark D'Antonio got a one. Okay, safe and sound. P.J. Fleck, safe for now. He got a two. Joe Moorhead obviously gets a one. He hasn't, you know, hadn't coached a game yet. Ken Niumatalolo at Navy gets a one. Safe and sound. Scott Frost, Nebraska, untouchable. He got a zero. Bob Davey at New Mexico, former Notre Dame coach, got a five. Win or go. Larry Fedora, three, getting a little warm. Pat Fitzgerald, untouchable. Northwestern, 12 years. Brian Kelly at Notre Dame. What do you think Brian Kelly got?
I want to say four, but that may be too high.
He got a two. Mm. Safe for now. Last year he had a five. Last year he had a five, and he won. Frank Solich at Ohio University, no problem. He got a one. Lincoln Riley got a one, safe and sound. Mike Gundy got a one, safe and sound at Oklahoma State. Let's see. James Franklin got a one, safe and sound. Pat Narduzzi got a two. Safe for now. He was in the one category last year. Now it's a two. Jeff Brom at Purdue got a one. Safe and sound. Chris Ash at Rutgers got a four. He was a one last year. Safe and sound. Now he's a four. So the pressure's really on for him. Rocky Long, San Diego State, got a two. Safe for now. Will Muschamp, a two at South Carolina. Safe for now. Charlie Strong at South Florida got a one. Safe and sound. David Shaw, Stanford. What do you think David Shaw got?
I'd say either zero or one.
Zero, untouchable.
Yeah. He does great. He does great work, too, on NFL Network on draft night.
Oh, I know. David Shaw's first class all the way. Yeah. Dino Babers, Syracuse, got a two, safe for now. Gary Patterson, TCU, untouchable. Zero. Jeff Collins at Temple gets a two, safe for now. He was a one last year. Jeremy Pruitt starts out at Tennessee as a two, safe for now. Tom Herman, Texas, gets a two. He was a one last year, but he's still safe for now. Jimbo Fisher, Texas A&M, safe and sound, gets a one. Cliff Kingsbury of Texas Tech, a four. In other words, you need to kick it into another gear. I mean, Kingsbury's a fun guy, has a wild offense. Defense is something you have to play because the rules say you have to.
At last check.
Let's see. Josh Heupel starts out at UCF as a one. Chip Kelly is untouchable first year at UCLA. Randy Etzel at UConn. He gets a four. He was a two last year. He's four. UConn, I mean, Kevin will tell you when Kevin comes on, they're bad. It's a bad job. They built a nice little stadium and the whole thing, but still. Clay Helton at USC. What do you think Clay Helton at USC is?
I'll say two.
You're right. He is a two. Okay. Safe for now. Kyle Whittingham at Utah, one, safe and sound. Derek Mason, who replaced James at Vanderbilt, is going into his fourth year, and he's a three. All right, so he's right in that middle. Bronco Mendenhall at Virginia is a two. Justin Fuente at Virginia Tech is a one, safe and sound. Chris Peterson at Washington. Last year was untouchable, now is a one, safe and sound. That's, you know, that's no big deal. Mike Leach, safe for now. He gets a two at Washington State. He was a one last year. Dana Holgorsen at West Virginia gets a two, safe for now. Paul Christ at Wisconsin gets a one, safe and sound. Craig Bohl at Wyoming gets a one, safe and sound. So those are Dennis Dodd's rankings of head coaches as to where they are on Dennis's list. Well, I can't believe Meyer got untouchable. Man, it's stunning. Look, it's the toughest division in football. And, you know, some people will... I had somebody ask me today about the bottom of the East, if the bottom of the East hurts the top. And I said, no, it's quite frankly, it's the other way around. Right? No one cares about the bottom of your league or your division. Nobody cares about that if the top is really strong, because you have to play everybody in the top. If you safely negotiate Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State, guess what? You're on a track to get into the college football playoff. And it puts you on that track. You're not there yet. You got to win the other games too. But the strength of the schedule is accentuated when you have to do that. And what really helps the top of any league, the top of any division, you know what really helps? And it is, this has happened in the SEC over and over again. Anytime you change a coach, guess what you are doing as a program? You are starting over. And this has played into Nick Saban's hands for years. He stays, he wins. Auburn changes coaches. Boom, start Gene Chizik, who then becomes Malzahn, and Malzahn's on the hot seat, and the hat goes at LSU. They're in transition. Now it's Orgeron. Who's that help? It helps Saban. Hugh Freeze messed up at Ole Miss. Helps Saban. Dan Mullen leaves Mississippi State because he goes to Florida, which is the easier side to work from. It helps Saban. Who do you think it's helping? Now let's go to the Big Ten. Meyer's now been entrenched since 2012 at Ohio State. James has been here since 2014. Harbaugh's been here since 2014. D'Antonio's going into what, his 11th, 12th season at Michigan State. Okay, the ones at the bottom are the ones that are changing. Durkin's in his, what, going into his third year? Ash is going into his third year. Allen's going into his second year. They're the ones that are changing coaches. I mean, Chris has stabilized Wisconsin. Fitzgerald's been there a dozen years at Northwestern. Now you go, okay, now the big change was Scott Frost at Nebraska. They're hoping he's a long-term solution. But again, they're going to have to start over. You don't walk in with a magic wand and go, voila, here we are. It doesn't happen that way. As you know, I've always been someone who has emphasized over and over again, you need to give a coach 5-6 years, football, basketball, to see what the program really looks like under their leadership, where all the players are theirs. What does it look like? Now, there are certain cases, for example, and to me this especially happens, when you hire a coordinator or an assistant coach that has never been a head coach. Some people are really perfectly suited to be an assistant coach or a coordinator, but for whatever reason are not great head coaches.
Nobody likes road work. And we've seen a lot of it this summer.
And there's more.
Road work is scheduled for North 4th Street in Sunbury on the 16th. So now is the time to get to Sunbury Motors Ford before the road work begins. SMC is on a mission to sell 50 vehicles in just 5 days.
Before the road work starts.
Save up to a whopping $16,200 on the area's largest selection of new 2018 Ford trucks. Choose from over 80 trucks with new 2018 Ford F-150s slash to as low as $25,995. Pick from 56 2018 Ford Escapes, priced as low as $18,820. And there's 0% financing for up to 72 months, plus discounts as high as $5,000 on many new Fords. SMC has 21 2018 Ford Focuses, starting at $14,925. SMC is on a mission to sell 50 vehicles before the North 4th Street road work begins. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.